My name is Richard Alquist, former program director and general manager of the Wicked 102.5, Daytona Beach's only free format radio station. And I am an alumni of Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, class of 2017.
And what's your show?
My show is The Meltdown, and my DJ name is DJ Jaeger. And on The Meltdown, I play heavy metal music. Extremely heavy metal music. I like to say it's the heaviest show in Daytona Beach, and I haven't seen anything else to say that I'm wrong about that.
That's true.
If I can be oh so humble right now. One used to be the only heavy metal music show in Daytona Beach, and then thankfully we have a few more. Noble plays old school heavy metal. DJ Spaz plays a lot of punk rock, all that. Alessia plays some heavy stuff too, kind of Christian metalcore, which I've played that too, but since she does that, I don't play it as often, since why play the same thing?
Not step on each other's toes.
That, and there's really no reason to play exactly the same genre as someone else, because first and foremost, we're a free format radio station, so we can play whatever we want. But that doesn't mean that you can just go willy-nilly. You kind of have to make it flow in some sort of linear fashion that makes sense. Who it makes sense to, I don't know. Just try to make it make sense, which is what I do with my show.
I know when I was talking with Alessia, she was going over how you have a book.
Yes, I have a 5-star composition notebook that I've been writing in since Shot in the Dark here, maybe fall 2014, but definitely spring 2015 is when I remember it. So it could have started in the fall of 2014, but spring 2015 is when, it really got used. So I have a comp book, and in that book, pretty much half that thing, over half of that book is filled with just bands and songs. So that's how I plan my show, is I'll take maybe hour, two out of my day, sit down, think of a band I want to play, find the band, find a song by it, and then find similar bands to that artist and just work down the list. So I'll just keep going down. It's almost kind of like 5 degrees of separation, except I'm trying, no, 6 degrees of separation, except I'm not trying to get to Kevin Bacon, I'm just trying to get more music. So that's how I planned my show, and ever since I've started doing it, I've recommended my way, but I never tell people to do it my way because everyone has a different system. So whenever I was program director, I tell people, if you're going to plan your show, plan the songs first and then worry about talking later. Because if you get the music down right, you will always have something to talk about. Because you can talk about the music, concerts coming up, what concerts you've been to, have you seen this band live, have you not, do they have a new record coming out? Are they still touring? Are they still around? All that. There's so much you can talk about with just the music, obviously, because you work in radio. So I know some people kind of fret about, what am I going to talk about? I'm going to burp here. Hold on. Nope, it went away. So I know some people fret about wondering what they're going to talk about. And then I know when I joined the station, that was the one thing I was really worried about, was what am I going to talk about? How am I going to make it seem engaging to the audience? And the first few shows of mine, they're a bit rocky, because obviously they're the first few shows, me actually talking, me here by myself, which is how I did most of my shows, was right. Just me. I have no co-host. I try to get people to come in, but if they're busy, they're busy. No biggie. I'm used to doing my show by myself. So the way I do it is I focus on the songs. I make sure I get a good set list going, or as good as it can be. One of the main reasons why I joined the station was two main reasons, really, was to play heavy metal music. Because, you get metal music on the radio. You hear Metallica, Ozzy Osbourne, maybe the occasional Megadeth. You never hear Anthrax. You never hear Motorhead. You never hear Venom. You get the same old Judas Priest. You rarely ever hear Iron Maiden anymore. And it's just annoying hearing the same tracks by the same artists, by the same bands. I love them to death. I love Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, Megadeth, all of them. I love them. I play them on my show whenever I get the chance, but I try to avoid playing the same songs that big radio stations play because they always play them and it's always annoying. So, selfishly, I joined the station to play whatever the hell I wanted, which I think one of the reasons why everyone joined, and it's a selfish reason, but
you're successful.
We get to play whatever we want, and yes, it is a selfish reason, but it really helps out the station itself because it grows our own variety of music right now because we have such a big genre-spanning program that it's amazing to me. And then the second reason why I joined was I have a speech impediment. It comes out when I get really excited or really frustrated or I talk really, really fast. Obviously, I have a speech impediment, so I have a stutter. And so I mess up like my R's and my W's and just S's every once in a while. And so that was another reason why I joined, was it could really help me focus on improving my speech. So I did go through speech therapy when I was a kid, which really helped. So right now, you probably can't notice it. If I didn't say anything about it, you'd just be like, all right, he's just talking, and that's how normal people talk when they're on the radio, or just normal people talk in general. Normal people stutter when they talk. Everyone does. Some people do it more often than others. I was one of them more often than others. Because everyone's going to be like, there you go. That's not really a stutter. That's just you trying to think of something. But constantly, trying to say a word and tripping over that word, kind of a stutter. So that's another reason why I joined the station, was to work on that. And, well, it really helped. I am so thankful for. But I still get kind of nervous talking in front of crowds, which you would think I'd talk in front of a mic every Tuesday night for 2 hours.
Potentially millions of people are listening to your show.
Potentially millions.
Potentially billions. We're worldwide.
We are worldwide. Yes, my show used to be 1 hour, only 1 hour, but that was when I was a student here, and I was like, all right, I need to make sure I don't spend too much time doing one thing or the other, because, well, I have to work on homework at the time, and one thing
and
I always...
And this is just your entire life, so you could spend 2 hours.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Now I have a lot more free time, so I don't mind spending 2 hours, and one thing about spending 2 hours, once you do a radio show for a very long time like I have, is after a while, 1 hour really doesn't cut it because you feel very constricted and constrained about what you want to talk about, what you want to play, what you want to say, how often do you talk, and all that. With 2 hours, you get a little bit more leeway of how you want to work your show. You can feel more relaxed. You don't have to worry about, okay, I have to hit these points, boom, 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 boom. I have to say a PSA here and here, or I get in trouble. That's not the case for like a 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour show. 1 hour show, you're stuck in that 1 hour, and 1 hour seems like a very long time. When you're on radio and you're talking and you're playing songs, that 1 hour is going to go by like that. 2 hours goes by phenomenally fast, like you wouldn't believe. So another reason why I did 2 hours, because it gives me more time to relax. And then every once in a while, I would do a 2 hour show just randomly because I was like, hey, I still want to go. There was no one after me. So I'd message the program director, or when I was program director, I'd message the general manager and be like, hey, can I do this? Is it okay if I keep going? And they're like, yeah, go ahead. So I'd keep going, and I found out that it makes me more relaxed. I get more engaging. I get louder, funnier, whatever, on the mic. So that's why I went 2 hours.
Do you ever think you're going to like run out of music?
No, I'm never going to run out of music.
If
one
you did
thing,
this show for the rest of your life, you would never run out of music?
I would never run out of music because there's always new music coming out. And whether I find it or not, there's always new music out there.
And is it still as good as the older, the classics?
Yeah, the one thing that people always trip up on, and this goes with all music, not just metal music in general, is everyone always tries to compare it to what came before it, and to what came before it, which is fine. That's what everyone is always going to do because that music helped create the music you're listening to now. Metallica influenced so many bands, it's unbelievable. So did Slayer, Megadeth, Venom, Bathory, Burzum, Mayhem, Dark Throne, Obituary, Suffocation, so on and so forth. Black, Death, Thrash.
This is all off the head. He doesn't have a book here.
Just so many genre-spanning bands that defined their own genre, that created their own genre, have influenced so many bands. But if you try to compare new bands to old bands, the new bands are never going to compete. Not because they're bad, but because of the impact the old bands have had. You're just not. It's like comparing presidents. Each president has done something drastically different than the other. Some have, some haven't. Right. But if you try to, if But if you keep trying to compare them, you're always going to fall flat. You're always going to find some fault. So I'm not trying to say don't compare bands. Go ahead, compare them, because you comparing bands is you finding which band that you like the most, taking what kind of influences and techniques that they use and finding what you like the best. You're going to get that by comparing other bands. It's just don't get constrained trying to compare them all together, because you're just going to get aggravated and pissed off eventually, because it's like they'll never live up to what you grew up with.
So, like, paint a picture for me. What is the makings of a perfect song for you, or a song that you would listen to on repeat?
If we're not comparing
it to classics.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
What makes up that good song?
That's a tough question, because it really depends on my mood and what I want to listen to, but that's kind of a cop-out. So I'm a big fan of thrash metal music. So thrash metal music, defined pretty much by aggressive lyrics, not growls, not deep voices, but...
So you can still understand.
You can still understand it to an extent. Obviously, if you've never listened to the music before, it's going to be really hard to understand the lyrics, and that's with any genre, not just metal. If it's fast and heavy, which sounds ridiculous, but if it has a very good opening riff, I can get behind it. Even if kind of like the rest of the song is kind of lacking, is if it has an opening riff and it keeps that riff and it builds upon that riff with the bass and the lead and the drums all coming together, I'm sold on the song. And it doesn't just have to be that riff. It can be a sick bass line or an awesome rhythm section or just the drums going crazy. It just all depends on how the inner workings of the band connect and create that awesome song that I enjoy.
Normally people have a favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a song that when they hear it brings up a lot of memory. That you either has an emotional response, has memories, and I want to go through each of those and a little bit of the backstory behind those with you.
All right, which one do you want to start with?
Let's do the favorite song first. Let's start out with Light.
All right. This has always been a tough question for me because so many songs are awesome. It's either going to be from Metallica or Megadeth. I'm going to choose Metallica since Metallica is my favorite band. My favorite song by Metallica, I think, is Creeping Death. Now, Creeping Death is about the plagues of Egypt in the book of Exodus. So, Bible. And it's pretty much how it is. It's a song about the seven plagues ravaging over Egypt. And just something about the way it's composed, the way it is, just it's amazing to me. And also, it has an awesome bridge section where James Hetfield is just singing the lyrics and then everyone behind him is just screaming die at the top of their lungs. Now, that sounds awesome.
I don't remember that verse.
Yeah, it's right in the bridge. It's after the solo and then before the next chorus and the end of the song. Now, hearing that on the record is awesome. Hearing that live is something totally different. And it's just amazing. Hearing everyone just scream die at the top of their lungs, going balls out crazy, is phenomenal. Now, if you asked me on a different day, I might say a different Metallica song, but we'll be here all damn day trying to figure out which one's my favorite.
What about the one that brings back either memories or emotion whenever you hear it? Like,
so, it's between two songs. One is Holy Wars, The Punishment Due by Megadeth. Excuse me. Off of their 1990 album, Rust in Peace, opening track. Or it's Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd, off of whatever album that is. I don't remember which album that is off of, because I'm not a big Lynyrd Skynyrd fan, but that song, my mother, my mother says that's my song, and because whenever she hears it, she cries, because that's all she wants from me is to me to be happy, and that makes me cry, because that's sad and that's so nice. And the other one, Holy Wars, The Punishment Due, it was the first time I saw Megadeth, Anthrax, and Slayer live, and that was when I saw them with my father, at the Hard Rock in Orlando, and that was my first song that I ever moshed to, which is a huge thing for me.
That's a huge thing for metal people, right?
Yeah, like your first, like the first time you go out and you mosh around, I feel like everyone's gonna remember that song.
It's a rite of passage.
Kinda, yeah. So I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do Holy Wars to Punishment. Do is one song that whenever it comes on, I never turn it off, and I always crank it to max.
So you just have
because,
to play it.
Yeah, because it reminds me of my childhood, going to concert. I mean, I still go to concerts, but not as often as I used to with my dad. And just going and experiencing a metal concert for the first time, experiencing a mosh pit for the first time, and just enjoying it. And also, my dad moshed with me on that song too, which is also amazing because I wasn't expecting him to do that. I ran out. I was like, all right, I'm gonna go do this. And he was like, okay. So he stood on the outer edge. I'm dancing around, just going nuts, thrashing my head about. And then all of a sudden, I hear, like, I feel a push from behind me. I was like, who the hell's pushing me this hard right now? I know it's a mosh pit, but damn, really? And I turn around, and it's just my dad with this big-ass fucking grin on his face. And I was like, yes! And so we just kept going around 2-3 times. And I will never forget that. It's fucking amazing, and I love it. So, yeah, Holy Wars to Punishment Due is, like, the emotional song. And then my favorite song would be Creeping Death by Metallica.
Did you always listen to metal music? Like, what's the earliest song you can remember hearing? Way back in childhood.
Of childhood?
Yeah.
All right, the first song I remember hearing is off of Metallica's 1996 Load album, and it is Ain't My Bitch.
And this is, like, any song?
Yeah,
like
this is
any song you'd have on your iPod that you've always listened to metal?
Yeah. And that was my first song I sang to as well when I was a kid. That was the first song I sang. My mother was
How
not
old
happy.
Is that?
Oh, what? The album came out in 96. 96, I was 3. I don't remember much from being 3. I don't think I was singing at 3. Maybe 4, maybe 5. Around there. 3, 4, 5.
That's starting them young.
Yeah, late threes and then 4, 5, whenever. So
I guess
no.
That makes sense if your father was a metal, what is it, metalhead?
Metalhead, yeah. Yeah, my mother and my father are both metalheads since they both, I think their favorite bands are both Metallica. So that's how my favorite band came about. And they've always been listening to hard rock and heavy metal. My dad kind of stays to like the old school heavy metal, Priest, Motorhead, Iron Maiden, Kiss, Thin Lizzy, maybe some Motley Crue, many, many, many more bands. I'm not going to try and list them all.
So more of the classics.
Yeah. And then my mother, kind of same deal, Metallica, Ozzy Osbourne. She was a heavy Ozzy Osbourne fan. Pantera. But she was also a big country fan, so I listened to a lot of country when I was a kid.
Okay.
And at the time, I liked it, but as I grew older, I grew to just not like how it is, just everything about it. It just seems so repetitive, so annoying. That's my opinion of country music. Not saying it's correct. That's just how I feel about it today.
Hey, that's your opinion. You're
allowed to have it. And I grew up on a lot of old school rap. Tupac, Biggie, 50 Cent. I think Nas is thrown in there. I know Ciara for hip hop. Beyonce was big. Destiny's Child. Eminem, obviously. What white kid didn't listen to Eminem back in the late 90s, early 2000s? Find me one, and I'll find me one who didn't, and I'll show you a liar. Everyone did. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Just admit it.
Yeah.
And there's that. So that's where I got, like, my other love of other genres of music from, was from her.
So you've got country, you've got hip-hop, you have metal. Is there, and you said you've kind of outgrown country now.
Oh, yeah. I outgrew country, I think, pretty much the beginning of middle school. I just kind of just started to just not like it. Just something about it just wasn't doing it for me anymore. And then I started to get into more heavier music. I started listening to Kiss and then Iron Maiden and then Judas Priest and then Ozzy and then Motorhead, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple.
So if you were to like put on your headphones at any given point and your only restriction was anything but metal, what would you play right now?
I'd go hard rock, but that's cheating, so I'm not going to say that.
All right.
I'd probably do... I mean, there's pop punk music as well. That's that whole genre right there that was born out of people listening to Metallica and Slayer and all them. There's also grunge music, which is a whole nother thing, which doesn't exist anymore.
What was that? I guess, what was that?
Oh, grunge music was just this weird... Everything, it's like everyone sang in, like, a very deep voice, and they, like, stretched out the vowels. It was a big nor'eastern thing, like the Seattle, Washington area, near Oregon, Seattle, that area.
That's the West.
Yeah, Northwestern.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Thank you for correcting me. And so a bunch of bands like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, they did that for like maybe the 90s, and everyone's like, oh my God, metal's dead. Grunge is a new thing, and then grunge died out. Mainly, I guess, it's just the way the time goes. You look at every decade, there's always a music that defines that decade. I really don't know, for the 50s. Maybe for the 50s, it was maybe Elvis. For the 60s, it was like a lot of hippie music like that. It's starting to get more rock. For the 70s, it was like a hard rock. 80s was definitely metal music. You couldn't go anywhere without hearing anything. 90s, most people would say grunge music, but death metal was really big in the 90s. And then we're too close to the 2000s to determine what music was that of the decade, but probably people will probably say electronic, dance, EDM.
Yeah, we're actually past the 2000s.
I know, but we're still close to the early 2000s, either from 2000 to 2010. We're still close to it.
What do you think the future of metal music is going to be?
There's been a big trend of mixing genres because you can get a lot out of it. If you don't do it well, you can really tell like all the elements really aren't going together. But when you do it very, very well, everything blends in, and you really don't notice it until you go back and you spin the record back 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and then you get to pick out, okay, this is like the death metal part, this is the doom metal part, and you can see how they interchange, they interwine, and all that. So I think, in my non-professional opinion, it's going to be just a lot of mixing of genres, and that will go on for maybe 5-10 years, and then it'll stop, and then people will go back to doing one genre or another, and then it'll just keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But I know metal music isn't going to go away at all. Just because of the way it is, the way it promotes individuality and community at the same time. Because metal music speaks to a lot of people, not just kids, not just teenagers, not just almost adults, not just adults. It speaks to everyone at one time or another. There's so many different themes that metal goes through. You get like the funny themes. You get drinking alcohol, partying, doing crazy shit. You get those themes and all that, which is fine. You need that because you don't always need it serious, but you get themes dealing with war, death, despair, desperation, suffering, loss, woe. Some of this music helps. I know for me, it helps me get a lot of just like anger. I'm not like, and it's like I don't think I have anger issues, but I know playing this music helps me relax, it helps me calm down, it helps me not worry about how my day's going. Or after a long day of work, I can put on some of this and it helps me relax and all that. Because some of the people here, when I'm alone at the station when I went to school here, I would put on like heavy metal music, like Obituary, Suffocation, Death, all that. And I'd lay on the couch and I'd go to sleep to it. And some would be like, how the hell do you do this? And for me, it's just, I guess, conditioning, but the music relaxes me so much that I enjoy hearing it and what it can do for me. Sometimes it doesn't do anything for me and I just want to listen to it. Like, music always doesn't have to have a meaning to you at all. Right. You can just listen to it just to listen to it. You don't always have to find meaning in it for you. If you want to, go ahead. That's all you. Keep doing it. Don't tell anyone. Don't let anyone say, no, there's no meaning in that. That's not what they meant. Find it. If it means something to you, it means something to you, and use that meaning to have fun, to enjoy your day, and all that. So,
absolutely.
But that's what metal does for a lot of people. It, it enables a lot of destitute kids to feel like they're part of a community and all that around, because, hey, there's a kid who likes my same music who lives over in Florida and I'm in California, but we like the same band, so you automatically have a connection to that person.
Right.
You might not know who they are, what their name is, what they're going through, how they're doing on a day-to-day basis, but you have the same band that you can connect over. It's the same thing with going to a concert, and then especially a metal concert.
That's a good segue. I was going to ask you about concerts next.
In my opinion, I haven't been to a lot of different concerts. I've been to a lot of festivals that have different musical genres in them, but when it comes to metal concerts, the way I've seen it, because I've been to upwards of, I think, maybe over 100 by now, there's a good sense of community and camaraderie when you're at a metal concert. You're there to enjoy the artist, and the guy next to you, the girl next to you, they're there to enjoy it with you. Some are going to mosh, some are not. Some are going to put all of themselves into it. Some are going to sit back because, hey, they got stuff to do tomorrow. They don't want to be all tired and shit. So, but you feel a community when you're at metal shows. And a hardcore show is really, even though hardcore isn't metal, but kind of the same.
Can you give, like, an example of that? Like, a specific concert you've gone to that you've seen the community come out of someone?
When I saw Anthrax, Killswitch Engaged, and Code Orange a year ago? Almost a year ago, in between sets, the venue just plays music, plays songs, and people just kind of relax, go. They played Slayer. Slayer's Rain and Blood, and that has a good, like, doom, doom, doom. So it has, like, all the rain coming down. Dave Lombardo is the drummer at the time, is on the cymbals mimicking the sound of rain coming down, and then he's hitting hit, and he's hitting the bass drums, do do do, and it's just coming down, and then the main riff comes in, do 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 do, and then everyone who knows that song instantly connected over it and just started singing the guitar part. And then when the main riff comes in, so many people just started to mosh around it. We're moshing to the PA system here. There's no band on.
That's when you're supposed to save energy.
Everyone's waiting around for the next band to come on, and me and a group of like three or four other dumbass people are moshing to the PA system, and it's glorious. It's fun. You don't get that at almost any other concert where people will just mosh the PA system and have fun. Another one that I remember when I was also at when I was at Hard Rock, I think I was seeing Megadeth and someone else. I don't remember. We were waiting outside the venue and it started to rain. And so if you've been to the Hard Rock Cafe at the City Walk in Orlando, it's also a music venue and a cafe and gift shop area. And in the gift shop area, they have TVs that play music videos of all sorts of bands that have been to Hard Rock Live. Not have been at Hard Rock Live, but have played music that Hard Rock will play, like Jimi Hendrix, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Slayer, Megadeth, Metallica. So we're there waiting. It starts to rain. Most of us try to move inside, and on the TV, a live video of Metallica's For Whom the Bell Tolls from the 80s starts playing. A video of them just, like, a live concert video of them playing from the 80s. So they have long hair. They're going crazy. And, like, one guy starts singing it out loud, and then another guy starts singing it, and then another guy starts singing it, and then everyone starts singing it, and everyone's head banging. Like, everyone there has long hair. Just the stereotypical metalhead. I'm there as well. Everyone has long hair, and they're just headbanging to it. I was very young at the time, so I was still with my parents, but I had long hair. And then, funny enough, I think I looked at them, and I just looked back, and they're like, all right. And then they gave me the shoe, and then I walked over there.
That was like the cue.
Yeah, and then I introduced myself, and we just started fucking headbanging and singing For Whom the Bell Tolls out loud in the Hard Rock gift shop. You don't get that anywhere else. You don't. In my opinion, you don't. Which, that's one of the reasons why I love this music, and I always love it, is the camaraderie that you will get with people who you've never met in your life and who you will probably never meet again.
And your concerts are legendary, I'd say. because you have a, was it injury report?
Ah, yes. So I don't know when I started this. I think at first it started just seriously, but after a while I just love doing it because it's so fucking stupid. Because why would anyone do this to themselves?
Right.
And why would anyone make a post about it? So, I think it started maybe end of middle school, beginning of high school. Every concert I'd go to, I would do a post-concert injury report. And the worse the injury, the better the grade for it. So, if I got an A, that means I got really hurt. If I got a B, I got somewhere hurt. C, D, F, so on and so forth. And so, whenever I go to a concert, whenever I get back home, I try to do the post-concert injury report as soon as I could. Because everything still hurts at that time.
You're still feeling the pain.
I'm still feeling the pain. So I think I've had maybe bruised ribs. I know I almost broke my foot. I've been knocked out once. I've passed
Same
out
concert?
Once. No. Different
okay,
concerts.
Okay.
Oh, no. This is over...
Dial 9-1 and wait.
Yeah, this is over a wide range of concerts. I've had my chin cut open and my tooth chipped at one. Both at the same concert, too. So I have a scar on my chin, and then I have a chipped tooth. So, yeah, I would do post-concert injury reports after every concert. I still do them now, but I don't go to concerts as often as I used to.
I wanted to ask you, like, how Wicked has helped you, and you've contributed to Wicked by being program director and general manager.
I like to think I have.
So you've done a lot for Wicked, but what has Wicked turned around and done for you?
I mean, it's given me a platform to just play music. I never, like, I don't have an agenda. I don't have anything, like, I try to push and all that. It takes no effort to be polite. It takes no effort to be nice. And I'm not always a nice person. If you listen to me on the radio, you definitely wouldn't think I'm a nice person. But that's who I try to be, and that's how this and that's how this music helps, is it helps me relax, it helps me breathe and center myself. And that's what one of the things the station has done for me, and it's allowed me to find my center when everything is going wrong, when everything is going crazy. I had this show, this station, the people here to help center me, calm me down, and it helped. When I was program director, I was really stressed because it was a lot of responsibility. I wasn't comfortable with doing my job because I was scared I'd do it wrong. Same thing with general manager. It's really, really tough trying to manage a station full of 25 people, trying to get everyone to do the same thing, everyone to do their job in such a way to where it helps everyone else and trying to get everyone going. And it's really hard trying to make sure this station stayed intact. I'm not going to be the general manager that saved the station. I'm going to be the general manager that helped keep the station afloat long enough for someone to come along and help pick it up. That was what my tenure as GM was making sure the station stayed where it is, stayed afloat so everyone can keep doing their show and keep the station online until either my tenure as GM was up or I'd go and reapply for it, so to speak. I'd keep doing it if I could. But that was what my GMship was trying to make sure we just stayed afloat. And it really helped me try and manage people, which is what I'm going to do in my career.
Which is?
Which I'm going to be a naval officer.
Okay.
So having to manage people, it's not the exact same thing. I acknowledge that, and I'm not saying it is, but managing people, things tend to fall into the same category of how to do one thing or another. It just depends on what they have to do. That's kind of how this station has helped me. It's helped me kind of think of, all right, what needs to be done? What can it be done now? Can it be put off? Does it have to be done ASAP? Is able to be pushed back without any consequences, so on and so forth. It also helped me acknowledge that you're not always going to win. You're not always going to get what you need, and you're always going to have to compromise either with other people of the divisions here, Avion, Touch and Go, the SGA as a whole. It's helped me a lot.
Nice. And further down the road in your life, in your career, do you think you're going to continue to keep trying to spread metal music? Or
oh, most definitely. I'm never going to stop playing metal music. I'll be in my office doing whatever I'm doing, and then I'll have music playing in the background. Or whenever I'm driving down the road, I'll have it blasting out of my speakers. I'll be old, and I'll still be finding new metal to listen to and all that. And like,
I can picture it, too.
It's like it's never going to stop.
Going down I-4.
Yeah, it's I'm never going to stop trying to find new music and promote new artists as much as I can. Never. It's never going to stop. My show is The Meltdown. It's on Tuesdays at 8 p.m.
Tuesdays at 8.
Every week from 8 to 10.
Okay.
On The Wicked 102.5.
And do you have any social media for the show?
It's so much effort. I have a Facebook page. It's called at The Wicked Meltdown. I try to keep up with it. I haven't posted in a very long time because it's surprisingly a lot of work.
Yeah.
To run a Facebook page, so there's not a lot there. The best way to stay in touch is to just go follow the station. Really, follow the station on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook. Do there. If you have any questions for me, if you go to the Meltdown page, you can post them there. If not, post them on the Wicked Facebook page, and someone's gonna tell me about it, and I'll try to answer as well as I can. So this has been DJ Jaeger. I've had a fun time, though.
Thank you for coming on.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Have a good day. Good night. Stay brutal, Daytona Beach. This has been your host, DJ Jaeger. Goodbye.